It's the Guru Steiny, Guru Steiny, Guru Steiny Show. Let's go.
All right, Matt Barrows of The Athletic is going to join us in 10 minutes. And we're going to switch to the San Francisco 49ers. They're in training camp. They got a game Saturday against the Broncos.
Football's back, Matt.
Exhibition game. Well, it's not. Did you hear what Aaron Rodgers said?
Oh, God.
And I know you like him.
No, I don't like him.
R-E-L-A-X.
I'm pretty sure he said what we all knew, and that is, you know, the preseason isn't real football.
I'm not saying it is.
Well, then don't say football.
No,
back.
For the visual, for the fans that are starving for it, like your boy here, is back.
Yeah.
Color schemes and all.
Oh, how the 49ers new unis looking?
I think it's the 28th of August. I'm somewhere there.
Oh, speaking of uniforms, did you see the big uniform news that came out in the last couple days?
Now, I follow Paul Lucas on Twitter. He's the uniform guy. I did not see this. And don't let me down. I'm excited.
I won't let you down. And my prediction is going to be, you're going to love it. So apparently the Chicago Bulls are going back to their pinstripes that they wore in the Jordan era.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great, huh?
It's kind of tight. The White Sox wear them. You know, they're their City Connect uniforms. Remember the Giant? They wore them to get the black and red. So that's dope.
All right.
Yeah.
The Robert Saleh is the defensive coordinator of the by the way, you know, we talked a little about Little League earlier. It was no malice.
A lot.
No malice.
Why do you got to add that?
Because
it's about the 70th time he said it.
Dude, he knows what it did.
No malice. Just an observation, neither positive nor negative. I want you to listen to something that Robert Saleh said yesterday to the media. And he's talking about the 49ers defense. Just take a listen. Robert Saleh. And I told you earlier, I love listening to this guy talk.
I think of all the major sports, the NFL relies on rookies more than any of them. I mean, it's throw your kiddo in the water and just go swim, right? And those rookies, they're going to make mistakes. The hope is that they're smart enough, I guess you could say, or they can acclimate well enough where they don't make the same mistake twice, if that makes sense. And but you throw them in and the expectation, that's why I said it way back in OTAs, the expectation for these rookies is that they show great growth every day and that they get better every day. That's the expectation. They're going to have splash plays in between. They're going to have hair-pulling moments. But as long as they're focused and you feel like their intent day-to-day is good and they're taking care of their bodies and they're studying and preparing every day like a professional, you trust that they'll grow and get better every day.
All right, that was Robert Saleh talking about the defense, which is going to have a lot of first-time starters in it. And when I hear Saleh talking about growth and improvement, we need them to grow and improve every day, doesn't that infer that they're probably not going to be a championship defense this year? When
I can get how one would get there, you know, to that, Stoney, but again, we don't know that, and I hadn't really thought about the three major sports or four major sports and, you know, how much, you know, rookies are relied on or pick it up faster. So I'll say this to that. I'm kind of excited because he feels like he may be able to do it, you know? He may be able to get these guys up and running, but again, what's my old saying, Stoney? I won't rob them of that, so I said it to you, Willard and Dibbs, yesterday, Maggie Seaver, growing pains. So there's going to be some, but a football game, 60 minutes, Donnie, and it's if you do mess up, can you come back and kind of fix it or be better the next time so it doesn't happen again? And that's why, to me, on the defensive side of the ball, your boy's excited. Because it could go either way. I'm with you.
But I, you're right. It could go either way. But even if it goes well, clearly, this is a defense that's going to be very young.
No doubt about that.
And even if, to me, even if they do well, is it going to be good enough for this team to contend? And when I look at the 49ers and I think about their defense, I think about their offensive line and wide receiver, I'm starting to think that one of the only things they have going for them right now is that schedule. That easy schedule, like they're,
and you got to be careful with that.
I just think that When have they had more questions coming into a year than this year?
Right when Kyle got the job, Stoney, and I believe they had a sorry campaign before they bounced back and went to the Super Bowl in Bosa's rookie year. You know, remember that was the one where it's like, whoa, who saw this happening? So, man, Stoney, what if they're a bend but don't break defense, and then the offense is more prolific than we think, and the offense is the identity of this team, and you give up 20 points a game, but your offense is scoring 30, you know, then you got it. And the guys are learning and growing. And as you move forward and, you know, different seasons and different years, they're getting better, and that 20 comes down. But there's question marks galore, and I know that's for a lot of teams, but I am truly, this could sound, what word am I looking for, Stoney, deranged, but there's so many question marks that the answers could be correct to where the Niners and these young guys pick it up and Saleh has him fast, blitzing, and what they look like before, you know, we'll see. And they're going to be led. Yeah, they're young, but the stewards of the defense still are Warner, right? And Bosa. So it starts there with those two dudes.
Yeah, when I think about all the questions that this team has, like I don't think they can all be answered in the affirmative. Mm. Because it's not just the defense, it's what's Christian McCaffrey got?
No doubt. How many games does he have? Exactly.
What's going on at receiver? How's the offensive line? Is the offensive line better this year than last year?
And I would need you to tell me what version of Trent we're getting.
Yeah,
you know, I was defending them yesterday. I was not, you know, blind to the fact that that wasn't his best year last year, Stoney.
I mean, even if he's back, so they've got Pooney and they've got Trent Williams. I don't know how much they upgraded the offensive line. But we talked about McCaffrey, and that's from a while ago. Let me ask you this. Brian Baldinger said this in February. Okay. Do you still believe it? Brian Baldinger said it in February. Right. You still believe it?
I think so, Joe. I do. You know, the one thing, you know, if you compare the two, I mean, look, Christian was beat up all year. You know, the offseason, he was never really healthy. Right, and affected the way that he played. Saquon went through years like that in New York where he wasn't healthy. And that's why he was basically allowed, you know, to go into free agency with the Eagles. I mean, for the most part, because of his injuries. And they didn't know. The Giants didn't know that he didn't get nicked once this year. Maybe his wrist in a playoff game looked like it bothered him a little bit. But his legs were healthy. And when his legs were good, he was the biggest difference. It's the reason why the Chiefs had the game plan they did, where they pressed outside. They played two deep safeties, and they loaded the box, and they, you know, they corralled them. He still had some plays in the passing game, but for the most part, they corralled them. You know, one of the few teams that are able to do it. But they built their game plan around corralling Saquon, the way other teams did with McCaffrey, and it opened up a lot of other things. The quarterback is going to be better. Everybody's going to be better if McCaffrey can regain his form. And I don't know.
Oh, the last part, and I don't know.
No, and but he does know, Stoney. If McCaffrey does regain the form, then they got action, and everybody around that offense, including your quarterback, is going to be better. I guess what I'm saying to you, partner, is that's how important it is for McCaffrey to be healthy. And I know we got Matt coming up here shortly, but Stoney, that's my number. Forget the rookies. How healthy is McCaffrey?
What are your, like, if I asked you, and I'll tell you mine, okay, like, three biggest concerns for the Niners, and they can be individual, okay, or they can be overarching.
Wide receiver position one.
Okay.
McCaffrey's health two.
All right.
And the D-line three.
Okay.
Man, Stoney.
I know. That's a lot.
And you hadn't even got to yours. Or are they pretty similar?
Well, I mean, like, and that's one of the reasons that we got to see it play out, because the two of the biggest questions that you have, and they're up there on my list too, is McCaffrey, which is about 100% of the running game.
I love that.
And the wide receivers right now who are just that position group is completely undermanned. I'm going to throw somebody else in there as a question mark.
I think I know where you're going.
Go ahead.
Moody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man.
If you didn't have a good year last year, then you have to bounce back this year. And they've got four guys like that: Ayuk, McCaffrey, Moody, and Ayuk.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that could extend to Williams, Bosa, and Fred Warner. Fred Warner, not according to me, didn't have the greatest second half of the season after his injury last year.
Because he was on one wheel, but bottom line, he didn't. We all know that.
Exactly. So if you start thinking about, you know, all the 49ers that got that have to have a better year than last year, they're gonna have a lot of guys that are either going to be reemerging or guys we're going to be talking about as maybe not the players they were.
Man, Jake Moody, Stoney, you just had me looked up his field goal percentage on the year, 24 of 34, 70%. That was good for 39th in the league, Stoney. So I'm just like, man, that's not good at all. And then if you want to talk about the leg, Stoney, 4 of 9, 50 plus. 40 to 49, 6 of 11. So you are right. That's a big part of what they're trying to do. And, you know, he won the competition. I really didn't think there was one, but there are a lot of fans down on Jake Moody, and we'll see if he can answer the bell.
Yeah, and Matt Barrows of The Athletic joining us momentarily, covers the San Francisco 49ers, and has done it for a while and does it as well as anyone. We're going to talk to him. I think the first question is, got to be about McCaffrey and how does he look? And we got to ask him about Jennings.
Oh, that was going to be my first one, man.
Can I tell you something about Jennings?
I'm hoping this is contract related as opposed to something really going on with the calf that could, you know, linger. You know what I mean? And maybe we don't find that out. But Stoney, I hope it's just him being, you know what, I don't want to risk the biscuit. But man, if your number one receiver is hampered with the calf, he ain't playing Saturday. How much preseason does he get? Would he get any at all? But moving forward, could this team ill afford another injury when Debo is not here? He is not here. You got Pearsall with a smooth offseason, especially compared to what he had to deal with fighting for his life last year. So you just wonder, man.
Yeah. 49ers, they open up the exhibition season on Saturday. They play the Denver Broncos. And I think they're practicing jointly starting tomorrow down in Santa Clara today. All right. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. A reminder, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Let's welcome in Matt Barrows of The Athletic. He covers the San Francisco 49ers. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it, man.
Matt.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys.
Yes, sir. Let me start out with what I think is one of the biggest questions is, how does Christian McCaffrey look right now? And what's the plan as the 49ers enter into the exhibition season?
I think he looks good. Now, he's not getting a ton of snaps, but you know, he didn't get a ton of training camp snaps back in 2023, the year that he was the offensive player of the year. I think that they're just kind of governing him, regulating him so that he's not worn out when the season begins. But when he's out there, he looks like Christian McCaffrey. They love to go to him on deep balls when he's being covered by a linebacker. And he had one in yesterday's practice where he soundly beat Fred Warner down the field. I think Warner must have bitten on a play action fake, and this was an easy score for a long Purdy to McCaffrey touchdown. And the rookie Upton Stout happened to make a great play. He came off of his man and ended up tipping the ball with like the very tip of his finger, thwarting it. But I'm just saying Purdy to McCaffrey connection, short passes, deep passes, that's been available to Purdy in these practices, which leads me to think that, okay, if he's not back to 2023 form, he's pretty darn close.
Man, that's got to be exciting for 49er fans. Matt, always a pleasure to hear from you, because when we hear your voice, we know it's football season. But another guy Purdy will be throwing the ball to will be Juwan Jennings. And Matt, I got to tell you, I was a little worried when, you know, word came out that he requested a trade. He said he never said that. And then Richard Sherman had some comments about just, you know, asking the question, is this a hold in or is the calf really hurt? What can you tell us about Jennings? Because, Matt, I don't have to tell you, this is going to be his biggest role to me since he's been on the Niners.
Yeah, for sure. They're going to have to lean on him to start the season. He's going to be their number one, just like he was for most of last season. And, you know, Shanahan was asked that question. Cam Inman asked it the other day. He said, point blank, is Jennings being out of practice a business decision or a medical decision? And Shanahan's response was, well, you'll have to ask him. And, you know, they're saying that it's a calf issue. You have to be careful with calf issues. He did have a calf issue in the spring. But the initial reaction made you think, okay, it sounds like the 49ers are wondering that as well. And the irony, of course, is that they won't make Juwan Jennings available to us, the media. So we can't ask him that. But that would be the question to ask. I mean, and it would be a really smart negotiating tactic by Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings looked like one of the best guys in camp when camp opened. He was absolutely the top receiver. He was absolutely Brock Purdy's favorite target. And when he left with this calf injury, it was apparent that this team was in trouble at that position, not very deep at all at wide receiver, given that Brandon Ayuk is also out, given that DeMarcus Robinson likely will be suspended to begin the season, and it might be three games. So it just underscored the 49ers' precarious position at the wide receiver spot. So if it is, part of this contract negotiation, I think it's pretty smart, because the contrast is absolutely there as far as Juwan Jennings on the field and Juwan Jennings off the field.
Matt Barrow is joining us on 95.7 The Game. He covers the San Francisco 49ers for The Athletic. In the past few years, it feel like this team, we've known their identity. They like to run the football when they're healthy, and they rely on, you know, what had been a great defensive line. If I asked you right now, what is the 49ers' identity going to be this year? Does it change because they've got different personnel, or is it going to be kind of what we know Kyle Shanahan likes, which is run heavy?
No, I think if it changes at all, it might be even more run heavy because you do have a healthy McCaffrey, because you don't have a healthy Brandon Ayuk, because they signed Luke Farrell as, you know, a blocking tight end as their top free agent addition. And because you've got Juwan Jennings as your number one wideout, presumably, to begin the season. Juwan Jennings is a tremendous blocker. You have Juwan Jennings on the field. It's like having yet another tight end as far as blocking is concerned. I think the Farrell addition, and we wrote a little bit about that today in The Athletic, my colleague Vic Tafer did, is one that probably hasn't been played up enough. He's a really, really good run blocker. He's a really big guy. He's not going to catch, 50 balls this season. He doesn't look great as a receiver, but he looks great as somebody who can handle that edge and who can block defensive ends and big defensive ends. He goes against Mikel Williams, who's, one of the stronger defensive ends on this team. And that's a daily good battle to watch. So I just think that edge is going to be a little bit better for the 49ers this year. I think that Christian McCaffrey is going to really like that addition. I think Isaac Arendo, when he's back in action, is going to like it. So I would say that, you know, it's still going to be a run identity, but it might even be more so of a run identity this year.
Matt, you know, I'm a guy that runs off emotion. Sometimes that hurts me, Matt, in life. But the bottom line is Robert Saleh parlayed his last defensive coordinator job here into a head coaching job. And I could just envision him on the sideline because I think that stuff matters. And Wilkes and Sorensen, no shade at them. I feel like they didn't offer that. But if, Matt, if I were to ask you the biggest challenge facing Robert Saleh with this defense, how would you answer that?
The secondary isn't as good as it was last year. I don't think there's any way around that. You know, last year's secondary included Charvarius Ward. It had Talanoa Hufanga. It had Malik Mustafa. He's still with the team, Mustafa is, but he's coming back from an ACL. He won't be available to begin the season. So the cornerback group, I think, is good. As far as the top three. Beyond the top three, however, you have an injury to Renardo Green. If you have an injury to D'Amador Lenore, I don't know who the next outside cornerback is. Mm. And by the way, both of those guys have been injured already in training camp. And then at safety, and you're going to see the safety group on Saturday. You've got right now a couple of guys you don't know. Jason Pinnock and Richie Grant are your starting safeties, and you know that's a pretty anonymous group. So you know, and beyond that, it's unclear who would be the next guy up. Jair Brown is dealing with an ankle issue at the moment, so you know that's a group that is kind of unknown at this point. I just don't think it's as good as it was last year. And then the other part of it is linebacker. I think that's been a pleasant surprise for the 49ers this summer. D. Winters has looked really, really good. And the rookie that they drafted in the third round, Nick Martin, has looked really good as well. So I think that they're expecting better things from that group than they had in 2024. But, you know, will it be as good as 2023 when they had Dre Greenlaw in that spot? I don't know that yet. So all three kind of levels of defense have gone through significant changes. And, you know, all of that are challenges for Robert Saleh.
Matt Barrow is joining us on 95.7 The Game, writes for The Athletic, covers the San Francisco 49ers. Yeah, I guess that's kind of what I want to follow up on a little bit. Matt, is kind of the defense as a whole. And, you know, I know I read in The Athletic a few weeks back that there could be maybe 6 to 8 first-time starters on the defense. I heard Robert Saleh yesterday talking about what we expect is, you know, daily growth and improvement. I guess my question is, overall, with the, you know, the newness of some of the players on defense, like, what are the realistic expectations on them this year, knowing it's not going to look the same as it's looked in the past?
It's a great question. You know, I think that the plan was to have some incumbents in those starting spots to begin the season and then to gradually turn it over to the newcomers and the rookies as the season's gone on. So to that point, you know, defensive tackle, for example, the quote-unquote starters in training camp to this point have been Jordan Elliott and Kevin Givens. And, you know, you saw a scenario where Elliott and Givens would start the game against Seattle, for example, on September 7th. And then maybe, you know, a few weeks down the line, you know, one or two of these rookies, or maybe Evan Anderson, a second-year player, starts getting more time, starts getting starting reps, et cetera, et cetera. Well, already Kevin Givens suffered a pectoral injury that's going to keep him out, I don't know how many months, but deep into the season. So already you have an issue there. Okay, now who's going to be the other kind of veteran starter at defensive tackle? My point being that they may have to do this turnover to these younger, more inexperienced guys sooner than they plan to do. So that's something to watch. I mean, how quickly C.J. West has looked really good. He's looked the best out of all of the rookie defensive linemen. He was a round pick. So he's looked even better than Michael Williams at times. And then Alfred Collins missed all of the spring. He's been behind that group. The 49ers think that he has the ability to catch up quickly. But that's still sort of a leap of faith. We haven't seen it yet. But that's the idea, is that as the season goes on, each of these guys is going to get a bigger and bigger role.
Matt, let me ask you about Brock Purdy. He got his contract. I'm excited to see. I don't think he had a bad year at all, but the bounce back, he's talked more of a leadership role. But what did you make of his year last year, and what would you like to see from him this year?
Yeah, you know, Brock Purdy has been good in practices. I mean, it's a rare summer that we're really not talking about the quarterbacks ad nauseum. But both he and Mac Jones have looked good. And I mentioned all the receiver issues. They've looked good in spite of disjointed receiver group. And I think part of that is that the cornerback group has been equally disjointed. So they sort of even each other out. But Brock Purdy's been efficient. I think that Brock Purdy's connection with Ricky Pearsall has definitely been a training camp story, especially over the last week. He and Pearsall have looked really good. And I know that probably that's some of being fresh legs for Pearsall. Everybody else had, you know, a week head start on training camp. And Pearsall is probably fresher at this point. But the timing has looked good. Pearsall's ability to shake man coverage has looked good. He's catching passes at every level of the field, including the sideline. So I think that's all promising. Again, the question with Brock Purdy is what his receiver group looks like when the season begins, and whether by midseason or the end of the season you've got Ayuk at full throttle. You've got Ricky Pearsall with a full season under his belt. You've got Juwan Jennings healthy. You've got DeMarcus Robinson in the mix. If the answer to all four of those questions is positive, that's a nice group to throw to. And I think Brock Purdy will look good because of that.
Matt, do you have any sense, or Shanahan giving you guys any sense for the way they're going to handle the preseason, the three preseason games with, Purdy, McCaffrey, Kittle, Warner, and Bosa, of those guys playing time, and how are they going to handle that, do you think?
Yeah, well, they've got joint practices that precede two of these games against the Raiders and the Broncos. They're having a joint Bronco practice with the Broncos on Thursday. So I would think that McCaffrey gets, the usual amount of snaps on Thursday, but doesn't play on Saturday. And I think that's probably the case for a lot of starters.
And Shanahan's kind of on record that he thinks you can get more out of the joint practice than a preseason game.
Yeah. That's absolutely the case. He likes the joint practices better, and I think he likes this idea of one joint practice better than two. You can do more things. You can experiment more. During the preseason games, everybody has the tape. All 32 teams can watch what you're doing. So you tend to be a little bit more vanilla on during the game than you might be in the practice itself. So I think that, you get the one-on-one drills. You get to see Ricky Pearsall going up against, the Broncos' very good cornerbacks in these things, matchups like that. You get to see some of your old players, DJ Jones, Talano Hufanga, maybe Dre Greenlaw. I think he's sort of iffy for this. But, I'm not sure a lot of those guys are going to play on Saturday. So you get to see players and play against players that might not be available in the game.
Matt, before you hopped on, my partner, we were just talking about a couple concerns for the Niners team going into this season. And he mentioned Jake Moody. How much pressure is on Jake Moody this season to you?
Well, he's got a little less pressure these days since they already got rid of his camp competition, Greg Joseph, who was released a couple of days ago. But yeah, I mean, he's got plenty of pressure on him this year. All eyes are on him. A lot of people were upset, isn't the word, surprised that this camp competition that the 49ers were billing since the spring, we're going to bring a veteran in here to really push Jake Moody. We're not going to make it easy on him this year. Well, they did. they had the camp competition for exactly 9 practices, and only 4 of them did they actually have field goals. So this competition was over before it began, and they're going to give him the job, it seems like, unless there's a real hiccup in these preseason games. But, you know, he knows that all eyes are on him. He knows he's coming off a very wobbly second season. And, you know, that's going to be a theme until he sort of proves otherwise.
Yeah, Matt, Guru and I have a bet. I don't think Moody's going to be their kicker 17 games.
I'm
going to
win
this one,
Matt. Yeah.
Now, is the bet that he might get hurt?
Well, if
or
he gets hurt, I win.
Be relieved of his duties.
Well, if he gets hurt, I win.
We didn't specify that, but no, it wasn't injury related. Hey, Matt, before we let you go, what about Debo? You think this offense is going to miss Debo Samuel? Because I got to put some respect on his name and what he's meant and done. Last year wasn't the best, but there, you know, it's going to be weird not seeing Debo out there.
No, for sure. And he was the face of this team. I mean, think of how many 19 and number one jerseys there have been in recent years. I mean, I wrote this. I've been covering this team basically this entire century since the early 2000s. And I've seen 3 truly remarkable offensive performances. The one I mentioned earlier, Christian McCaffrey winning Offensive Player of the Year. Frank Gore had almost 2,000 rushing yards back in 2006. And then Debo Samuel's 2021 season was absolutely remarkable. I mean, the entire offense was Debo Samuel lining up in the backfield as a receiver. They got into the playoffs that year and went all the way to the championship game because of Debo Samuel. The issue is that he didn't come close to replicating that in any of the years since. But for sure, they're going to miss him. Absolutely. Just from an attitude perspective, they're going to miss him. He was one of the boombox guys. He and Trent Williams would kind of strut out with that gigantic boombox. It sent a message. He was literally sort of the first guy off the bus, the guy that brought the attitude to the playing field.
Yep. Hey, Matt, thanks so much for joining us. I know we kept you a little longer, but we did it because you're the man. Thank you so much.
All right. Anytime, guys. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. That's Matt Barrows of The Athletic giving you a healthy dose of 49ers information.
Yeah.
Matt Barrows.
Man, Stoney, he gave us a lot. So, you know, we'll see. And I love your question. How do you watch these 3 games for the Niner preseason? But, man, they got some question marks. And he said the secondary is his biggest concern defensively.
Yeah. Hey, lock in this Thursday with the Morning Roast and Stoney and Guru. That's tomorrow. We're going to be live from Laughing Monk Brewing. We're going to be at Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale. 2 shows, the morning show and the midday show from 6 to 2. Both shows are going to get you ready for week 1 of the preseason and the joint practice tomorrow down at Levi Stadium. And it's going to be our preview location for every red and gold pregame show for the 49ers home games this year. So come by. That's Thursday, August 7th, tomorrow at Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale. Hang out with a morning roast. And Steiny and Guru and Evan, we'd love to see you there. Laughing Monk Brewing tomorrow, the morning show, and Steiny and Guru.
Yeah, can't wait.
So, there you have it.
Now, your bet, Steiny, this might be one of your worst bets because now you asking Barrows about that. Moody, you know, he had a competition. And he kind of won the competition. Stoney, for them to go like a reliever or the skipper go to the mound and take the ball from the starter, I think that's highly unlikely.
Better,
I feel good about it.
Yeah, he better not go 20 for 34. But, you know, Barrow seemed to suggest that there wasn't a competition because it was supposed to be this big deal, and then the 49ers got some guys hurt. And Shanahan said he'd like to keep him around, but he just can't because they don't have enough numbers.
Mm.
So I think Moody knows he's on a short leash. And the question is that going to be good or bad for him?
Well, you know, like a lot of Niners, Donnie, you saying that short leash, he just from a personal standpoint, definitely needs to have a better season than last. Nobody can tell you that was what it was about. He was bad.
Yeah. Real quick, Goo, one of the other things that Barrows talked about was I asked him about what he thought the identity of this team's going to be. And when he answered, I couldn't help but think you might not be happy because he said they may actually rely on the run more.
Oh,
and
stop.
I know you like to go up top and throw a lot of bombs and throw downfield, but it looks like, in all seriousness, the thing I think's interesting is if they're going to rely more heavily on the run, that's going to be relying more heavily on Christian McCaffrey, who's coming off an injury.
And if I'm a defensive coordinator on any other team, Stoney, and I'm coming in, hello, I know that, and I'm going to stuff the box and try to make Purdy and his weaponry beat me. He talked about he likes what he's seeing from young Ricky Pearsall and the connection between him and Brock Purdy, and you hope Jennings can get on the practice field and be a part of that. But, Stoney, that to me is – I'm not saying – McCaffrey can't be effective, but you know there is no good Debo, and to start the season there won't be a good Ayuk. So I want to see those question marks answered when you got, you know, defenses trying to take the run away. How Kittle and the rest of the gang, including Brock Purdy, who's by all accounts, Purdy said looks great in practice.
What do you think of this text from the YouTube chat from Chicago Jason? Yeah, Moody's leash is so short, Kyle's actually carrying him. I like it.
Yeah,
he's one of those dogs that you can carry with everywhere you go.
Chihuahuas.
Yeah, something like that, or little
Yorkie.
No, I was thinking of
I always wanted a Yorkie.
I always wanted a Dachshund.
Why didn't you get one? Because they were too expensive. That's why I didn't get my Yorkie.
Dachshunds are expensive?
No, a Yorkie's like a rack. That's a G.
Go to a pound. Go to a rescue. Don't pay for a dog. There's a lot of dogs out there that...
And get a Stoney's.
Now, this is very controversial.
I could go get a Yorkie from the pound for much of nothing, is what you're saying?
Maybe not a Yorkie, but...
No, that's what I want, a Yorkie.
You could probably find a Yorkie.
I want it. Evan's got a dog, Rosie. I want a Yorkie.
Watch. Where'd you get to... What's your dog's name?
It's not my dog. It's my brother's dog.
Jack. What's
that? And we believe he's from Mexico.
That's not a breed.
We believe, Evan.
Oh, I thought you said, where'd you get him from?
No, that's what he said.
Oh, he's a Springer Spaniel. Sprocker Spaniel. Springer and Cocker Spaniel.
Gotcha. Go get a rescue dog. They'll love you forever.
I grew up with an Irish setter, Stoney. I want a Yorkie, man.
All right. 888-957-9570. Tell Guru why he should get a rescue dog, not a purebred. Hey, coming up at 7 o'clock tonight, the Valkyries take on the Las Vegas Aces. You can hear the game right here on 95.7 The Game and on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. You can also watch the game on KPIX. Pregame starts at 6:30, and it's all brought to you by the San Francisco Sheriff's Office. Your future begins here. Let me tell you what my new name is. Jawan Jennings. Trade me or pay me.
I am ready to go.
Now, back to Stoney and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
We just had Matt Barrows of The Athletic.
Matt!
Talking about the San Francisco 49ers, and one of the things he said piqued my interest a little. When you asked him about Jawan Jennings and whether he's hurt or whether this is a negotiating ploy or not. And he said, well, if Jennings is, you know, using this little calf strain as a negotiating ploy, that's smart. that's smart.
And I'll just ask you, because I didn't get a chance to ask Matt, an excited Stoney's the best Stoney. Juwan Jennings, trade me. Pay me a trade. I mean, can you break down what's smart about it? Why? I mean,
well,
or is he going to, like, what I don't like is you're lightweight lying or fedangling with the rules. Like, you're either, you want the bread and you're not going to practice, which he's not, or you're hurt. I don't, like, I'm just, I get smart, not risking it, but I guess I don't like the gray area to where the coach has got to tell the reporters, and he was right. Kyle told him, go ask him. Like, I don't think that's good unity.
I don't know whether this happened last year or 5 years ago, but to me, I put NFL players in a completely different boat than baseball players or basketball players when it comes to this kind of stuff. It is almost becoming routine that a player on the last year of his deal wants an extension because there are no guaranteed contracts in football.
But why did you beat up Ayuk then?
I don't think I beat up Ayuk.
I think it changed how you what you think of him, the way you, he went about his business. Like, it wasn't normalcy then. I felt like you were like, it was kind of punkish the way I'm speaking for you, but it was kind of punkish the way that he went about it.
No, I mean, this is what these, like, do I like what Trent Williams did last year? No, but, like, I understand it, and it's come down the pike now a bunch for the 49er players, and to me it seems obvious that, you know, if a guy thinks he's got a little juice and he's on the last year of his deal, I mean, this is where it comes down to, well, why do you think that's not? Because football's a ruthless sport, and I do believe these guys, first and foremost, they have to protect themselves. And I think that supersedes in football being a great so-called teammate because you're willing to practice when you're not 100%. I don't know, to prove something to your teammates when you're really tempting fate with your football future. So I don't blame anybody for doing what they're doing. Doesn't mean I like it, but they got to do it.
So I could be,
Jennings got to do it.
So I could be correct then with my assessment that you would, or any Niner fan out there, you would rather have this be contractual and nothing's really wrong with the calf.
Yeah, sure. I'd rather it be in,
And I guess I'm just perplexed that we don't know, you know, what it is.
Sounds like we know.
But do you get my premise? Like, why do we got to kind of guess? And what you said, well, I agree
it's
with.
None of our business. It's none of our business. Whether he's negotiating a contract or he's got a tender hammy or calf.
I'm trying to rack my brain of when we saw this before and it was a problem. You know, so you don't call this drama then. I feel like it's baby drama, the fact that we don't know. And I love Matt for keeping it real. Kyle's explanation, and on you have to go ask him, opened up Pandora's box on, you know, I'm not trying to create anything. Like, Stoney, I don't know if it's his calf or this is control. He's trying to hold out and get his money.
And I think
I just want to know.
Do you think the team knows? I do. You think Kyle knows? I do. I think they know the game that's being played. And
so what's the secret, I guess, for the outsiders like myself?
He's got a nagging calf, and he's not practicing until he gets a new contract.
So I would hope that the team is upstairs lynching Kyle.
Giving trying to
get
in
it
again?
No, look at you. Trying to get it figured out so he can be out there with Pearsall making sweet music, if you care that this stuff matters, and I believe it does in camp, Stoney. Like, what's the holdup? If, you know, if it truly is about the numbers.
You know, Goo, whenever we have a negotiation, you always ask what the holdup is, and it's negotiation. Like, the 49ers aren't just going to fork over whatever he wants. So I don't know how much it matters if he misses Saturday or a week or two.
Well, I didn't expect him to play. I just want clarity in regard to, you know, if he truly is hurt. I mean, this is going to, you know, I would think impede progress in regard to a new contract on how serious he's hurt.
Well, that's why I don't think it's serious.
If you're right, Stata, you're giving me the wink, wink, or Kyle's, they know, then there's nothing to be worried about, and I won't be worried. Because they're not worried because it's not a real legit calf issue.
Exactly. Right. We can put two and two together here.
Or it could be five.
What's five?
The answer. It might not be four. It could be five where he really truly has a calf issue.
I think he probably does. I think his calf's probably not 100%.
Okay.
But now that it's only 98%, why go out there and practice if you can get a new deal? The 650, and this is a great question. Steiny, do you have to use your leverage? You know what? I think you do in the NFL. I mean,
like, Ayuk did, and he caught a lot of strays from a lot of fans.
Right, but at the end of the day, look, like, that's why he got that deal. Or not why he got it, but that's, like, he got hurt. But he got paid beforehand. So, like, he took care of himself. He had to, and nobody likes to see an injury, but he did get paid. And that's, I think, the same thing that probably Juwan Jennings wants to protect against.
Yeah, and I'll say this to that, Steiny. If he truly is not hurt, then, and you know, Jennings is going to be your number one. I really believe he should be out there, you know, getting reps.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, like, after watching how other players have dealt with this, even if he's not hurt, guys have been rewarded when they've handled it like Juwan Jennings is handling it. I think the interesting thing with Jennings is, you know, he's pretty quiet guy. We don't hear a lot from him, doesn't get interviewed a ton. And I do think when a guy deals with it that way, you're right, we don't really know what's going on, but I still get the sense that it's not, I don't think the Niners are mad at him or exasperated with him.
I sense a little irritation when Kyle said, go ask him. No, we're asking you. You're the captain.
Yeah, I don't think this is anything out of the ordinary. Certainly not the last couple of years with the Niners. 888-957-9570 is the number. Juwan Jennings. Anybody out there concerned? Or have we just gotten used to this kind of off-season stuff with the 49ers? Yeah. Coming up at 7 o'clock tonight, the Valkyries take on the Las Vegas Aces. And you can hear the game right here on 95.7 The Game and on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. You can also watch the game on KPIX. Pregame starts at 6:30. Brought to you by the San Francisco Sheriff's Office. Your future begins here.
Bay Area, you know there's nothing better than watching a game with a cold, righteously brewed beer in hand. That's why I always roll with Laughing Monk Brewing.
Okay, yeah, I mean, the beer is fire. Why are you talking like that?
With locations in San Francisco, Sunnyvale, Scotts Valley, you can always count on top-notch craft beer, next-level food, and the best game day atmosphere in the Bay.
Hold up, bro. Like, are you doing a commercial right now?
Glad you asked, Jasky, because you can find Laughing Monk at the best bars and restaurants in the Bay, or pick up a 4-pack at many fine retailers like Whole Foods, Gus's, and New Leaf Markets.
Dude, just pass the wings.
And we're back, live during a flex alert. Dialed in on the thermostat. Oh, we're pre-cooling before 4 p.m., folks.
And that's the end of the third. Time to set it back to 78 from 4 to 9 p.m.
Clutch move by the home team. What's the game plan from here on out?
Laundry?
Not today.
Dishwasher?
Sidelined.
What a performance by Team California. The power truly is ours.
During a flex alert, pre-cool, power down, and let's beat the heat together.
Comcast Business High Five Hotline. What's the state of your excitement?
I signed my business up for the 5-year price lock guarantee, and I can't stop high-fiving people. High five!
Okay, ooh, deep high breath.
Five, high five.
You're in a good place. You signed your business up for 5 years of gig speed internet and advanced security, all on our ultra-reliable network.
Gig speeds and advanced security? I'm so stoked!
Yep, and you get it at a great rate that's locked in for 5 years.
Woo!
The high five is just your body's way of saying, I'm winning.
So this is natural.
High-fiving everyone you see in a state of business savings enthusiasm? Totally natural.
Sweet! Thank you! Thank you!
High five, everybody! High five!
The Comcast Business 5-Year Price Lock Guarantee is back, yay! But only for a limited time, so sign your business up today.
High five!
Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Ends 9/21/25 for new customers with qualifying bundle. Current customers may be eligible depending on services and area. Guaranteed rate applies to monthly service charge, excluding taxes and fees. Other restrictions apply.
Let's go!
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Texting terms at unlock.com/SMS. Privacy policy at unlock.com/privacy-policy. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Terms and conditions apply. For full details, see unlock.com/legal after portrayal.
Lisa, thanks for having me over. Your new kitchen is gorgeous. How'd you find the money to do it?
We worked with this great company, Unlock. They help you unlock the future value of your home to get the cash you need today.
So it's a home equity loan?
No, it's not a loan at all. There's no monthly payments and no interest charges ever. And you can use the money however you want. We were able to redo our kitchen and pay off our credit card debt.
Wow, Jack and I could really use this to finally pay off our old student loan debt. How do I get started?
It's easy. Just go to their website.
Text EQUITY to 865-865 to unlock the value in your home and get up to $500,000 in cash with no monthly payments and no interest ever. Pay off debt, improve your home, add your retirement fund. It's up to you. Text EQUITY to 865-865. Text the word EQUITY to 865-865. Text EQUITY to 865-865 now.
Summer is here, and it's time to plan your style.